recording this in November 2001. Bob Ditchfield is retired Lieutenant R.A. Who, through volunteering, which is a stupid thing to do, was serving in the Heavy Attack in the last war, the 39-46 war. And again, through volunteering, finished up in Burma, and on June the 15th, 1945, after rambling down Burma, was on the Attack defence of Mingledon Airport at Rangoon. In the afternoon, a bit late afternoon really, there's a plane approaching from the southeast. And the southeast wasn't friendly territory, so we stuck to the guns. Having looked at the thing, we couldn't identify it. It didn't conform really to any shape in detail that we knew. However, we didn't fire, we let it keep coming. It was fairly low. And then we assumed it was a Liberator bomber, but one tail fin and rudder was missing. And that made it look rather lopsided. As it approached, it started to do an anti-clockwise circuit of the airstrip. And when it was sort of quarter of the way around, we switched the RT set, which was a number 22, over to the same frequency. We had the right crystals in, fortunately, to the control tower. And there's this voice coming out saying, "Liberator, Liberator, this is not a bomber strip. You cannot land here, it is fighters only. Can you hear me?" To which there was silence, no reply from the Liberator. And he continued anti-clockwise, and the voice in the control tower continued that this is a bomber strip, you cannot land here. Well, he must have been a wingless wonder, because it was very obvious. Now he got lower still. As well as the tail fin and rudder missing, there appeared to be holes through the fuselage, and I'm certain I saw daylight through the end of one wing near the end. Looked as though either a shell had gone through or a lump of shrapnel. And he started on his second circuit, coming lower, and we thought, by golly, if he can get lined up, he'll make it on this trip. It was very obvious that all he wanted was a flat bit of terra firma to put the thing down on and walk away, because it was a flying wreck. How he kept that thing flying, I do not know. In fact, I'd say if you put him behind the wheel of a double-decker bus, he'd fly that. But there we are. Anyway, halfway round on the second circuit, the engines cut, and down he went into the paddy field. Well, it was late monsoon, but the paddy fields were full of water. I think that helped a bit in some way. Four or five of us piled into the jeep with an amazing array of tools, one hatchet, one axle, and a hammer, in order to get the crew out if it was needing. Anyway, when we got there, the RAF boys were there as well from the airfield, and we set to doing what we could. It turned out that one of the crew was dead. They also told us that there was a bomb or two still hung up, but we thought if the crash hadn't set them off, our bit of hammering and tearing wouldn't set them off either. But it was after dark before the last one was out. Talking amongst ourselves afterwards, we said, well, the survivors, they'll die in bed, because otherwise they'd have died on that day. It was an amazing thing to see, and of course it gave me great confidence in flying later on. I feel now that I must record why I'm making this tape. It happened that some weeks ago I read in the Yorkshire Post an article by a chap called David Condell, who was looking for 6 Spitfires that were buried near the airport of Mingledon in 1945. Well, I happen to remember that I'd seen several Japanese ammunition dumps which were underground, buried around Mingledon Airport, and I thought I'd better drop him a line and tell him this, because if he went in with a JCB, he may find more than he bargained for. It off to the Yorkshire Post office in Hull, and a day later David Condell rang me, thanked me for the contribution, and what did I know anything about the Spitfires, which I said, well, 28th Squadron was our PR squadron, and they took their Spitfires, which they only got when they got to Rangoon after the European War had finished. Before that they were on clapped out Hurricanes, and they took them down to Penang, and I actually flew down to Penang in the Dakota taking the spares, and that was the last I heard of them. I came back to Rangoon, and then with being in the Indian Army at that time, which again was just fortuitous, I suppose, but we went off back to India to reform as mediums. However, that's all part of that. But a few weeks later David Condell rang me again and said he'd traced the pilot of the Liberator, Peter Miles, and would I mind if he gave him my name and telephone number. I said not at all, which he did, and then Peter and I met and we had a good old chinwag, long time ago now. Anyway, a few days ago I got another telephone call. Ditch Cook, who turned out to be the front gunner and the one who got rid of some of the bombs beyond shackling them off a little narrow walkway in the bomb bay, with the bomb doors open, of course, nothing but the sea underneath. Not a nice thing to do. So I'm making this tape to send it to Teach with all my blessings and good luck and long life. Best of luck, Teach. Cheers. A few months ago, reading the Yorkshire Post, there was an article about a chap called David Condell, who was after information regarding a report that there were 6 Spitfires in their boxes buried around Mingledon Airport
in Burma. Having read it, a note of alarm came into my mind, really, because when I was at Mingledon, I saw several underground ammunition dumps that the Japanese had put there. And I thought, if David goes digging with a JCB and the explosives haven't been removed, the armaments haven't been removed from the stores, he might get more than he bargained for. So I put this in a letter and sent it off care of Yorkshire Post Hull office. And the following day, David rang me. And in the course of the conversation, I mentioned about a Liberator coming in with a tail fin missing and crashing into the paddy field just away from the airstrip. And the fact that we had to go and get the crew out. Some time later, David Kendall rang me and said he'd managed to trace the pilot of the Liberator, which rather amazed me. And he said, would you mind if I passed on your name and telephone number? I said, not at all. So that he did, and sure enough, day or two later, I get a telephone call from the pilot, Peter Miles. And he told me that on that day, they'd taken off from an airfield north of Calcutta to bomb some Japanese tankers that were off an island the other side of the Gulf of Siam, and they set off early morning, reached the target just after midday, and ran into heavy attack fire from both medium, light and heavy guns. And they were going in on a low-level attack, and so it was pretty inevitable that they got shot up. And then he went into more detail. Not a lot. I'd have liked to have known more, really. He finished up flying anti-clockwise. Finished up, he'd lost his navigator. And in the end, I think, flying on the seat of his pants, holding his finger up for the wind and looking where the sun was, he eventually got back to Burma and in sight of the Rangoon River. So he flew up the Rangoon River and approached Mingledon, and that's where I saw him. An amazing story. His age at that time, 21, and flying for 14 hours 23 minutes before he planned. I don't know what the passengers in an airliner today would think if the pilot said he was only 21 and had been flying for 14 hours. Makes you think a bit. After the rescue operation, of course, we all had a chit-chat afterwards, and we decided that survivors, well, they'd die in bed, that's for sure. Otherwise, they'd have been dead that day. I think that's about the end of the story. Except to wish him long life
and happiness.